medical studies, not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Chapter, a call for gospel medical missionaries. When Jesus sent forth the 12 on their first mission of mercy, He commissioned them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 9:2. As ye go, He said, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Matthew 10:7-8. And as they went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere, Luke 9:6, the blessing of heaven accompanied their labors. The fulfillment of the Savior's commission by the disciples made their message the power of God unto salvation, and through their efforts many were brought to a knowledge of the Messiah. The 70 who were sent out a little later were also commissioned to heal the sick, Luke 10:9, as well as to announce the advent of the promised Redeemer. In their work of teaching and healing, the disciples followed the example of the Master, Teacher, who ministered to both soul and body. The gospel which He taught was a message of a spiritual life and physical restoration. Deliverance from sin and the healing of disease were linked together. At the close of His earthly ministry, when He charged His disciples with a solemn commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He declared that their ministry would receive confirmation through the restoration of the sick to health. Ye shall lay hands on the sick, He said, and they shall recover. Mark 16:15-18. By healing in His name the diseases of the body, they would testify to His power for the healing of the soul. The Savior's commission to the disciples includes all believers to the end of time. All to whom the heavenly inspiration has come are put in trust with the gospel. All who receive the life of Christ are ordained to work for the salvation of their fellow men. For this work the church was established, and all who take upon themselves its sacred vows are thereby pledged to be co-workers with Christ. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This world is a vast Lazar house, but Christ came to heal the sick, to proclaim deliverance to the captives of Satan. He was in Himself health and strength. He imparted His life to the sick, the afflicted, those possessed of demons. He knew that many of those who petitioned Him for help had brought disease upon themselves, yet He did not refuse to heal them. And when virtue from Christ entered into these poor souls, they were convicted of sin, and many were healed of their spiritual diseases, as well as of their physical malady. To many of the afflicted ones who received healing, Christ said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. John 5:14. Thus He taught that disease is the result of violating God's laws, both natural and spiritual. The great misery in the world would not exist had men from the beginning lived in harmony with the Creator's plan. There are conditions to be observed by all who would observe health. All should learn what these conditions are. The Lord is not pleased with ignorance in regard to His laws, either natural or spiritual. We are to be workers together with God for the restoration of health to the body as well as to the soul. And we should teach others how to preserve and to recover health. For the sick, we should use the remedies which God has provided in nature, and we should point them to Him who alone can restore. It is our work to present the sick and suffering to Christ in the arms of our faith. We should teach them to believe in the great Healer. We should lay hold on His promise and pray for the manifestation of His power. The very essence of the gospel is restoration, and the Savior would have us bid the sick, the hopeless, and the afflicted take hold upon His strength. Never has the world's need for teaching and healing been greater than it is today. The world is full of those who need to be ministered unto, the weak, the helpless, the ignorant, the degraded. The continual transgression of man for nearly 6,000 years has brought sickness, pain, and death as its fruit. Multitudes are perishing for lack of knowledge. As God's ministers behold the awful results of long-continued sin, their hearts are touched with the world's woe, and they are endeavoring to labor as the master workman and his disciples labored. Connected with the divine healer, they are going forth in the power of his might to teach and to heal. They realize that the gospel is the only antidote for sin, and that as Christ's witnesses, they are to bear testimony to his power. As they point the afflicted ones to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, his transforming grace and miracle-working power are causing many to accept the message of truth that is born. His healing power, united with the gospel message, is bringing success in emergencies. The Holy Spirit is working upon hearts, and the salvation of God is being revealed. But the world's need today cannot be met fully by the ministry of God's servants, who have been called to preach the everlasting gospel to every creature. While it is well, so far as possible, for evangelical workers to learn how to minister to the necessities of the body as well as of the soul, thus following the example of Christ, yet they cannot spend all their time and strength in relieving those in need of help. The Lord has ordained that with those who preach the word shall be associated his medical missionary workers, Christian physicians and nurses who have received special training in the healing of disease and in soul winning. Medical missionaries and workers in the gospel ministry are to be bound together by indissoluble ties. Their work is to be done with freshness and power. By their combined efforts, the world is to be prepared for the second advent of Christ. Through their united labors, the Son of Righteousness is to rise with healing in his wings, to lighten the benighted regions of the earth where the people have long lived in gross darkness. Many who are now dwelling in the shadow of sin and death, as they see in God's faithful servants a reflection of the light of the world, will realize that they have a hope of salvation, and they will open their hearts to receive the healing beams, and will in turn become light bearers to others yet in darkness. So great are the world's needs that not all who are called to be medical missionary evangelists can afford to spend years in preparation before beginning to do actual field work. Soon doors now open to the gospel messengers will be forever closed. God calls upon many who are prepared to do acceptable service to carry the message now, not waiting for further preparation. For while some delay, the enemy may take possession of fields now open. I have been instructed that little companies who have received a suitable training in the evangelical and medical missionary lines should go forth to do the work to which Christ appointed his disciples. Let them labor as evangelists, scattering our publications, talking of the truth to those they meet, praying for the sick, and if need be, treating them not with drugs but with nature's remedies, ever realizing their dependence on God. As they unite in the work of teaching and healing, they will reap a rich harvest of souls. And while God is calling upon young men and women who have already gained a practical knowledge of how to treat the sick to labor as gospel medical missionaries in connection with experienced evangelical workers, he is also calling for many recruits to enter our medical missionary training schools to gain a speedy and thorough preparation for service. Some need not spend so long a time in these schools as do others. It is not in harmony with God's purpose that all should plan to spend exactly the same length of time, whether 3, 4, or 5 years in preparation before beginning to engage in active field work. Some, after studying for a time, can develop more rapidly by working along practical lines in different places under the supervision of experienced leaders than they could by remaining in an institution. As they advance in knowledge and ability, some of these will find it much to their advantage to return to one of our sanitarium training schools for more instruction. Thus, they will become efficient medical missionaries prepared for trying emergencies. Much may be learned by visiting the hospitals. In these hospitals, not a few of our consecrated young people should be learning to be successful medical missionaries. Observation and the practice of that which has been learned will enable our youth to become efficient nurses with superior skill, fitted to stand upon the highest eminence. Every physician, every nurse, every helper who has anything to do in God's service must aim at perfection. Nothing short of this standard is pleasing to Him who has called us to be co-laborers with Him, and especially should those who are in training to act as His medical missionaries turn resolutely from every temptation to be satisfied with a superficial knowledge of their profession. Let them rather reach upward to perfection. Theirs is a most exacting calling, and their preparation must be painstaking and thorough. The cause of God today would have been far in advance of what it is had we in former years been more active in the training of nurses who, in addition to their acquirement of more than ordinary skill in the care of the sick, had also learned to labor as evangelists in soul-winning service. It is for the training of such workers as well as for the training of physicians that the school at Loma Linda has been founded. In this school, many workers are to be qualified with the ability of physicians to labor not in professional lines as physicians, but as medical missionary evangelists. This training is to be in harmony with the principles underlying true higher education. The cause is in need of hundreds of workers who have received a practical and thorough education in medical lines and who are also prepared to labor from house to house as teachers, Bible workers, and call porters. Such students should come out of the school without having sacrificed the principles of health reform or their love for God and righteousness. Those who take advanced training in nursing and go forth into all parts of the world as medical missionary evangelists cannot expect to receive from the world the honor and rewards that often come to fully accredited physicians. Yet as they go about their work of teaching and healing and link up closely with God's servants who have been called to the ministry of His Word, His blessing will rest upon their labors, and marvelous transformations will be wrought. In the special sense, they will be His helping hand. The duties of the physician are arduous. Few realize the mental and physical strain to which he is subjected. Every energy and capability must be enlisted with the most intense anxiety in the battle with disease and death. Often he knows that one unskilled movement of the hand, even but a hairbreadth in the wrong direction, would send a soul unprepared into eternity. How much the faithful physician needs the sympathy and prayers of the people of God. His claims in this direction are not inferior to those of the most devoted minister or missionary worker. Deprived as he often is of sufficient rest and sleep, he needs a double portion of grace, a fresh supply daily, or he will lose his hold on God and will be in danger of sinking deeper in spiritual darkness than men of other callings. And yet often he is made to bear unmerited reproaches, which is left to stand alone, the subject of Satan's fiercest temptations, feeling himself misunderstood, betrayed by his friends. Many, knowing how trying are the duties of the physician and how few opportunities physicians have for release from care, even upon the Sabbath, will not choose this for their life work. But the great enemy is constantly seeking to destroy the worship of God's hands, and men of culture and intelligence are called for to combat his cruel power. More of the right kind of men are needed to devote themselves to this profession. Painstaking efforts should be made to induce suitable men to qualify themselves for this work. They should be men whose characters are based upon the broad principles of the Word of God, men who possess a natural energy, force, and perseverance that will enable them to reach a high standard of excellence. It is not everyone who can make a successful physician. Many have entered upon the duties of this profession in every way unprepared. They have not the requisite knowledge, neither have they the skill and tact, the carefulness and intelligence necessary to ensure success. A physician can do much better if he has physical strength. If he is feeble, he cannot endure the wearing labor incident to his calling. A man who has a weak constitution, who is a dyspeptic or who is lacking in self-control cannot become qualified to deal with all classes of disease. Great care should be taken not to encourage persons who might be useful in some less responsible position to study medicine at a great outlay of time and means when there is no reasonable hope that he will succeed. I have been instructed that in view of the trying nature of medical missionary work, those who desire to take up this line should first be thoroughly examined by competent physicians to ascertain whether or not they have the strength necessary to endure the course of study through which they must pass in the training school. We have a work to do in securing the best talent and in placing these workers in positions where they can educate other workers. Then when our sanitariums and mission fields call for physicians, we shall have young men who, through their experience gained by practical work, have become fitted to bear responsibilities. The medical student. While seeking a preparation for his life work, the medical student should be encouraged to attain the highest possible development of all his powers. His studies, taxing though they are, need not necessarily undermine his physical health or lessen his enjoyment of spiritual things. Throughout his course of study, he may continually grow in grace and in a knowledge of truth, while at the same time he may be constantly adding to the store of knowledge that will make him a wise practitioner. To medical students, I would say, enter upon your course of study with a determination to do right and to maintain Christian principles. Flee temptation and avoid every influence for evil. Preserve your integrity of soul. Maintain a conscientious regard for truth and righteousness. Be fruitful in the smaller responsibilities and show yourself to be close, critical thinkers, having soundness of heart and uprightness, being loyal to God and true to mankind. Opportunities are before you. If studious and upright, you may obtain an education of the highest value. Make the most of your privileges. Be not satisfied with ordinary attainments. Seek to qualify yourself to fill positions of trust in connection with the Lord's work in the earth. United with the God of wisdom and power, you may become intellectually strong and increasingly capable as soul winners. You may become men and women of responsibility and influence. If by the power of your will, coupled with divine strength, you earnestly engage in the work of securing a proper training. Exercise the mental powers and in no case neglect the physical. Let not intellectual slothfulness close up your path to greater knowledge. Learn to reflect as well as to study, that your minds may expand, strengthen, and develop. Never think that you have learned enough and that you may now relax your efforts. The cultivated mind is the measure of the man. Your education should continue during your lifetime. Every day you should be learning and putting to practical use the knowledge gained. In order for you to become men and women that can be depended upon, there must be a growth of the powers, the exercise of every faculty, even in little things. Then greater power is acquired to bear larger responsibilities. Individual responsibility and accountability are essential. In putting into practice that which you are learning during your student days, do not shrink from bearing your share of responsibility because there are risks to take, because something must be ventured. Do not leave others to be brains for you. You must train your powers to be strong and vigorous. Then the entrusted talents will grow. As a steady, uniform, unyielding energy is exercised in bearing individual responsibility, God would have you add day by day, little by little, to your stock of ideas, acting as if the moments were jewels, to be carefully gathered and discreetly cherished. You will thus acquire breadth of thought and strength of intellect. God will not require of man a more strict account of anything than of the way in which he has occupied his time. Have its hours been wasted and abused? God has granted to us the precious boon of life, not to be devoted to selfish gratification. Our work is too solemn, our time to serve God and our fellow men too short, to be spent in seeking for fame. Oh, if men would stop in their aspirations where God has set the bounds, what different service would the Lord receive? There are many who are in such haste to climb to distinction that they skip some of the rounds of the ladder, and in so doing, lose experience which they must have in order to become intelligent workers. In their zeal, the knowledge of many things looks unimportant to them. They skim over the surface and do not go deep into the mine of truth, and thus by a slow and painstaking process, gaining an experience that will enable them to be of special help to others. We want our medical students to be men and women who are most thorough, who feel it their duty to improve every talent lent them, that they may finally double their entrusted capital. The light that God has given in medical missionary lines will not cause His people to be regarded as inferior in scientific medical knowledge, but will fit them to stand upon the highest eminence. God would have them stand as a wise and understanding people because of His presence with them, in the strength of Him who is the source of all wisdom, all grace. Defects and ignorance may be overcome. Let every medical student aim to reach a high standard. Under the discipline of the greatest of all teachers, our course must ever tend upward to perfection. All who are connected with the medical missionary work must be learners. Let no one stop to say, "I cannot do this." Let him say instead, "God requires me to be perfect. He expects me to work away from all commonness and cheapness and to strive after that which is of the highest order." There is only one power that can make medical students what they ought to be and keep them steadfast. The grace of God and the power of the truth exerting a saving influence upon life and character. These students who intend to minister to suffering humanity will find no graduating place this side of heaven. That knowledge which is termed science should be acquired, while the seeker daily acknowledges that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Everything that will strengthen the mind should be cultivated to the utmost of their power, while at the same time they should seek God for wisdom, for unless they are guided by the wisdom from above, they will become an easy prey to the deception, to the deceptive power of Satan. They will become large in their own eyes, pompous and self-sufficient. God-fearing physicians speak modestly of their work, but novices with limited experience in dealing with the bodies and souls of men will often speak boastingly of their knowledge and attainments. These need a better understanding of themselves. Then they would become more intelligent in regard to their duties and would realize that in every department where they are to labor, they must possess a willing mind, an earnest spirit, and a hearty, unselfish zeal in trying to do others good. They will not study how to best preserve their big dignity, but by thoughtfulness and caretaking will earn a reputation for thoroughness and exactitude, and by sympathetic ministry will gain the hearts of those whom they serve. In the medical profession, there are many skeptics and atheists who exalt the works of God above the God of science. Comparatively few of those who enter medical colleges come out from them pure and unspotted. They have failed to become elevated, ennobled, sanctified. Material things eclipse the heavenly and eternal. With many, religious faith and principles are mingled with worldly customs and practices, and pure and undefiled religion is rare. But it is the privilege of every student to enter college with the same fixed, determined principle that Daniel had when he entered the court of Babylon, and throughout his course to keep his integrity untarnished. The strength and grace of God have been provided at an infinite sacrifice that men might be victorious over Satan's suggestions and temptations, and come forth unsullied. The life, the words, and the deportment are the most forcible argument, the most solemn appeal to the careless, irreverent, and skeptical. Let the life and character be the strong argument for Christianity. Then men will be compelled to take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus and have learned of Him. Let not medical students be deceived by the wiles of the devil or by any of his cunning pretexts which so many adopt to beguile and ensnare. Stand firm to principle. At every step inquire, "What saith the Lord?" Say firmly, "I will follow the light. I will respect and honor the majesty of truth." Especially should those who are studying medicine in the schools of the world guard against contamination from the evil influences with which they are constantly surrounded. When their instructors are worldly wise men and their fellow students infidels who have no serious thought of God, even Christians of experience are in danger of being influenced by these irreligious associations. Nevertheless, some have gone through the medical course and have remained true to principle. They would not continue their studies on the Sabbath, and they have proved that men may become qualified for the duties of physicians and not disappoint the expectation of those who have encouraged them to obtain an education. It is because of these peculiar temptations which our youth must meet in worldly medical schools that provision should be made for preparatory and advanced medical training in our own schools under Christian teachers. Our larger Union Conference training schools in various parts of the field should be placed in the most favorable position for qualifying our youth to meet the entrance requirements specified by state laws regarding medical students. The very best teaching talent should be secured, that our schools may be brought up to the proper standard. The youth and those more advanced in years who feel it their duty to fit themselves for work requiring the passing of certain legal tests should be able to secure at our Union Conference training schools all that is essential for entrance into a medical college. Prayer will accomplish wonders for those who give themselves to prayer, watching thereunto. God desires us all to be in a waiting, hopeful position. What He has promised, He will do. And inasmuch as there are legal requirements making it necessary that medical students should take a certain preparatory course of study, our colleges should arrange to carry their students to the point of literary and scientific training that is necessary. And not only should our larger training schools give this preparatory instruction to those who contemplate taking a medical course, but we must also do all that is essential for the perfecting of the courses of study offered by our Loma Linda College of Medical Evangelists. As pointed out, about the time this school was founded, we must provide that which is essential to qualify our youth who desire to be physicians, so that they may intelligently fit themselves to stand the examinations required to prove their efficiency as physicians. They should be taught to treat understandingly the cases of those who are diseased, so that the door will be closed for any sensible physician to imagine that we are not giving in our school the instruction necessary for properly qualifying young men and women to do the work of a physician. Continually, the students who are graduated are to advance in knowledge, for practice makes perfect. The medical school at Loma Linda is to be of the highest order, because those who are in that school have the privilege of maintaining a living connection with the wisest of all physicians, from whom there is communicated knowledge of a superior order. And for the special preparation of those of our youth who have clear convictions of their duty to obtain a medical education, that will be required them to pass the examination required by law of all who practice as regularly qualified physicians. We are to supply whatever may be required so that these youth need not be compelled to go to medical schools conducted by men not of our faith. Thus we shall close a door that the enemy would be pleased to have left open, and our young men and women whose spiritual interests the Lord desires us to safeguard will not feel compelled to connect with unbelievers in order to obtain thorough training along medical lines. The teachers in our medical college should encourage the students to gain all the knowledge they can in every department. If they find any students deficient in caretaking, in a comprehension of their responsibilities, they should lay the matter frankly before such ones, giving them an opportunity to correct their habits and to reach a higher standard. The teachers should not become discouraged because some are slow to learn. Neither should they discourage the students when mistakes are made. As errors and defects are kindly pointed out, the students in turn should feel grateful for any instruction given. A haughty spirit on the part of the students should not be encouraged. All should be willing to learn, and the teachers should be willing to instruct. Training the students to be self-reliant, competent, careful, painstaking. As the students study under wise instructors and unite with them in sharing responsibilities, they may, by the aid of the teachers, climb to the topmost round of the ladder. Students should be willing to work under those of experience, to heed their suggestions, to follow their advice, and to go as far as possible in thought, training, and intelligent enterprise. But they should never infringe upon a rule, never disregard one principle that has been interwoven with the upbuilding of the institution. The dropping down is easy enough. The disregard of regulations is natural to the heart inclined to selfish ease and gratification. It is so much easier to tear down than to build up. One student with careless ideas may do more to let down the standard than 10 men with all their effort can do to counteract the demoralizing influence. Failure or success will be read in the course the students pursue. If they stand ready to question rules and regulations and order, if they indulge self by their example, encourage a spirit of rebellion, give them no place. The institution might better close its doors and suffer this spirit to leaven the helpers and break down the barriers that it has cost thought, effort, and prayer to establish. In training workers to care for the sick, let the student be impressed with the thought that his highest aim should always be to look after the spiritual welfare of his patients. He should learn to repeat the promises of God's Word and to offer fervent prayers daily while preparing for service. Help him to realize that he is always to keep the sweetening, sanctifying influence of the great medical missionary before his patients. If those who are suffering can be impressed with the fact that Christ is their sympathizing, compassionate Savior, they will have rest of mind, which is so essential to recovery of health. Importance of Bible study. If medical students will study the Word of God diligently, they will be far better prepared to understand their other studies. For enlightenment always comes from an earnest study of the Word of God. Nothing else will so help to give them a retentive memory as the study of the Scriptures. Let our medical missionary workers understand that the more they become acquainted with God and with Christ, the more they become acquainted with the Bible history, the better prepared will they be to do their work. Faithful teachers should be placed in charge of Bible classes, teachers who will strive to make the students understand their lessons, not by explaining everything to them, but by requiring them to explain clearly every passage they read. Let these teachers remember that little good is accomplished by skimming over the surface of the Word. Thoughtful investigation and earnest, taxing study are necessary to an understanding of this Word. Christ, the great medical missionary, came to this world at infinite sacrifice to teach men and women the lessons that would enable them to know God aright. He lived a perfect life, setting an example that all may safely follow. Let our medical students study the lessons that Christ has given. It is essential that they have a clear understanding of these lessons. It would be a fearful mistake for them to neglect the study of God's Word for a study of theories which are misleading, which divert minds from the words of Christ to the fallacies of human production. God would have all who profess to be gospel medical missionaries learn diligently the lessons of the great teacher. This they must do if they would find rest and peace. Learning of Christ, their hearts will be filled with the peace that He alone can give. Make the Bible the man of your counsel. Your acquaintance with it will grow rapidly if you keep your minds free from the rubbish of the world. The more the Bible is studied, the deeper will be your knowledge of God. The truths of His Word will be written in your soul, making an ineffaceable impression. These things God has been opening before me for many years. In our medical missionary training schools, we need men who have a deep knowledge of the Scriptures, men who can teach these lessons to others clearly and simply. Just as Christ taught His disciples that which He deemed most essential, and the needed knowledge will be given to all who come to Christ, receiving and practicing His teachings, making His Word a part of their lives. The Holy Spirit teaches the students of the Scriptures to judge all things by the standard of righteousness and truth and justice. The divine revelation supplies him with the knowledge that he needs. Those who place themselves under the instruction of the great medical missionary to be workers together with him will have a knowledge that the world with all its traditionary lore cannot supply. Spiritual growth. To every student who is seeking a medical education, I would say, look beyond the present. Turn away from the transitory things of this life, from selfish pursuits and gratifications. For what purpose are you seeking an education? Is it not that you may relieve suffering humanity? As the mind is enlarged by true knowledge, the heart is warmed by a sense of the goodness, compassion, and love of God. The soul is filled with an earnest longing to tell others how they may cooperate with the great master worker. You will do much for yourselves as you impart the knowledge you receive. Thus you will gain more knowledge to impart, and your ability to work for God will increase. There are those who will suggest to you that in order to be successful in your profession, you must be a policy man. You must at times depart from strict rectitude. These temptations find a ready welcome in the heart of man. But I speak that which I know. Do not be deceived or deluded. Do not pamper self. Do not throw open a door through which the enemy may enter to take possession of the soul. There is danger in the first and slightest departure from the strictest rectitude. Be true to yourself. Preserve your God-given dignity in the fear of God. There is great need that every medical worker get hold and keep hold of the arm of infinite power. The policy principle is the one that will assuredly lead into difficulties. He who regards the favor of men as more desirable than the favor of God will fall under the temptation to sacrifice principle for worldly gain or recognition. Thus, fidelity to God is constantly being sacrificed. Truth, God's truth, must be cherished in the soul and held in the strength of heaven, or the power of Satan will wrest it from you. Never entertain the thought that an honest, truthful physician cannot succeed. Such a sentiment dishonors the God of truth and righteousness. He can succeed, for he has God in heaven on his side. Let every bribe to dissimulate be sternly refused. Hold fast your integrity in the strength of the grace of Christ, and He will fulfill His word to you. The medical student, however young, has access to the God of Daniel. Through divine grace and power, he may become as efficient in his calling as Daniel was in his exalted position. But it is a mistake to make a scientific preparation the all-important thing, while religious principles which lie at the very foundation of a successful practice are neglected. Many are lauded as skillful men in their profession who scorn the thought that they need to rely upon Christ for wisdom in their work. But if these men who trust in their knowledge of science were illuminated by the light of heaven, to how much greater excellence might they attain? How much stronger would be their powers? With how much greater confidence could they undertake difficult cases? The man who is closely connected with the great physician has the resources of heaven and earth at his command, and he can work with a wisdom and an unerring precision that the godless man cannot possess. Like Enoch, the physician should be a man who walks with God. This will be to him a safeguard against all the delusive, pernicious sentiments which make so many infidels and skeptics. The truth of God practiced in the life and constantly guiding in all that concerns the interest of others will barricade the soul with heavenly principles. God will not be unmindful of our struggles to maintain the truth. When we place every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God above worldly policy, above all the assertions of erring, failing man, we shall be guided into every good and holy way. The Christian physician, in his acceptance of the truth by his baptismal vows, has pledged himself to represent Christ, the physician in chief. But if he does not keep strict guard over himself, if he allows the barriers against sin to be broken down, Satan will overcome him with specious temptations. There will be a blemish in his character that by its evil influence will mold other minds. The moral palsy of sin will not only destroy the soul of the one who departs from strict principles, but will have the power to reproduce in others the same evil. It is not safe to be occasional Christians. We must be Christ-like in our actions all the time. Then through grace we are safe for time and for eternity. The experimental knowledge of the power of grace received in times of trial is of more value than gold or silver. It confirms the faith of the trusting, believing one. The assurance that Jesus is to him an ever-present helper gives him a boldness that enables him to take God at his word and trust him with unwavering faith under the most trying circumstances. Our only security against falling into sin is to keep ourselves constantly under the molding influence of the Holy Spirit, at the same time engaging actively in the cause of truth and righteousness, discharging every God-given duty, but taking no burden that God has not laid upon us. Physicians and medical students must stand firm under the banner of the third angel's message, fighting the good fight of faith, perseveringly and successfully, relying not on their own wisdom, but on the wisdom of God, putting on the heavenly armor, the equipment of God's Word, never forgetting that they have a leader who never has been and never can be overcome by evil. To every medical student who desires to be an honor to the cause of God during the closing scenes of this earth's history, I would say, behold Christ, the sent of God, who in this world and in human nature lived a pure, noble, perfect life, setting an example that all may safely follow. The Lord is reaching out His hand to save. Respond to His invitation. Let Him take hold of my strength, that He may make peace with me, and He shall make peace with me. Isaiah 27:5. How eagerly the Savior will take the trembling hand in His own, holding it with a warm, firm grasp until the feet are placed on vantage ground. Trust in Him who understands your weakness. Keep close to the side of Christ, for the enemy stands ready to take captive everyone who is off his guard. It is the young men whom the Lord claims as His helping hand. Samuel was a mere child when the Lord used him to do a good and gracious work. Gather to your soul the light, the word of the Word of God. Remember that day by day you are building character for time and for eternity. The teaching of the Bible in regard to character building is very explicit. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Place yourself under His control and then ask for His protecting power. He gave His life for you. Do not cause Him sorrow. Be guarded in all that you say and do. Christ wants you to be to other young men His representative, His delegated gospel medical missionary. Remember that in your life, religion is not merely one influence among others. It is to be an influence dominating all others. Be strictly temperate. Resist every temptation. Make no concessions to the wily foe. Listen not to the suggestions that he puts into the mouths of men and women. You have a victory to win. You have nobility of character to gain. Jesus loves you. His great heart of infinite tenderness yearns over you. You may stand where you regard yourself not as a failure, but as a conqueror in and through the uplifting influence of the Spirit of God. Take hold of the hand of Christ and do not let it go. You may be a great blessing to others if you will give yourself unreservedly to the Lord's service. Power from on high will be given you if you will take your position on the Lord's side. Through Christ you can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust and be a noble example of what He can do for those who cooperate with Him. God's purpose for us is that we shall ever move upward. Even in the smallest duties of common life, we are to make continual growth in grace, supplied with high and holy motives, powerful because they proceed from one who gave his life to furnish us with the incentive to be wholly successful in the formation of Christian character. You are to be strong in the strength of God, grounded in the hope of the gospel. Arise in your God-given dignity. Live the truth in its purity. Christ is ready to pardon you, to take away your sin, and to make you free. He is ready to purify your heart and give you the sanctification of His Spirit. As you commit yourself to His service, He will be at your right hand to help you. Day by day you will be strengthened and ennobled. Looking to the Savior for help, you will be a conqueror. Yes, more than a conqueror over the temptations that beset you. You will become more and more like Christ. The angels of heaven will rejoice to see you standing on the Lord's side in righteousness and true holiness. Become all that the Lord desires you to be, a gospel medical missionary. You are to be not only an increasingly skillful physician, but one of the Lord's appointed missionaries in all your work, placing His service first. Let nothing mar your peace. Give your heart's best and holiest affections to Him who gave His life that you might be among the redeemed family in the heavenly courts. Striving for the crown of life will not make you dissatisfied or less useful. The great teacher desires to acknowledge you as His helping hand. He calls for your cooperation. Will you not give Him all that you have and are? Will you not consecrate your talents to His service? This life is your sowing time. Will you not pledge yourself to God that your seed sowing shall be that which will produce not tares but a harvest of wheat? God will work with you. He will increase your usefulness. He has entrusted to you talents that in His strength you may use to produce a precious harvest. To those who with steadfast perseverance strive to reveal the attributes of Christ, angels are commissioned to give enlarged views of His character and work, His power and grace and love. Thus they become partakers of His nature and day by day grow up to the full stature of men and women in Christ. The sanctification of the Spirit is seen in thought, word, and deed. Their ministry is life and salvation to all with whom they associate. Of such ones it is declared, "Ye are complete in Him." Colossians 2:10. The physician's example, no less than his teaching, should be a positive power on the right side. The cause of reform calls for men and women whose life practice is an illustration of self-control. It is our practice of the principles we inculcate that gives them weight. The world needs a practical demonstration of what the grace of God can do in restoring to human beings their lost kingship, giving them mastery of themselves. There is nothing that the world needs so much as a knowledge of the gospel's saving power revealed in Christ-like lives. The Ministry of Healing, pages 132 and 133.